The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 1, verse 80, page 89 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the word of God. And the child grew and became strong in spirit. And he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. Amen. Luke chapter 1, which is made up of 80 verses, covers the events leading up to John's birth in 52 verses, but spends only one verse talking about the 30 years from his birth up to the official start of his ministry. But this one verse is all it takes to explain John's 30 years. Verse 80 bears witness. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. Last time we spoke in detail about how John, who was called to prepare the way of the Lord, grew up and grew strong in spirit. And John's preparation for his calling did not happen overnight. There was a period of time which he prepared for the way of the Lord. And the verse tells us it is until he appeared publicly to Israel. The day he appeared publicly was when he turned 30. The poet George Byron once said, "I awoke one morning and found myself famous." People dream of becoming famous overnight, but this is not true. Our lives are not made up of dots, but of lines. So our lives cannot be unconnected events. The person I am today is the result of choices and processes yesterday. And the person I am tomorrow is the result of choices and processes I make today. So to be famous implies that there were processes leading up to this result. For example, if I woke up one day to find myself an accomplished surgeon, this is because I studied hard through school to enter medical school and spent 6 years there working hard. And I would have gone through a medical internship and residency and become a specialist, and through all that seen and carried out countless surgeries. And as a result of this process, I would have become a great doctor. And if I woke up one day and found myself an alcoholic, I would have started out barely able to drink. Then I'd one drink, then two, then one bottle, then another, and started drinking only from time to time, then once or twice a month, then once or twice a week, then every day. So when I could not drink well, I would have been able to control my drinking and my own habits and control the alcohol. But later, the alcohol would have started controlling me and taking me along. So our lives today are the result of the past life we have been living. Nothing in our lives happens overnight. This is because God has us reap what we sow. If John, whose calling was to prepare the way of the Lord, needed a process leading up to the day he appeared publicly before Israel, we also need time to become rightful children of God and become paths by which we can show God in his godliness. And only God determines the length of time. We cannot decide on the length of time. Only God decides on this length of time. Jacob's 11th son, Joseph, was sold at the age of 17 to the general Potiphar of Egypt because of his brother's jealousy. Joseph was much loved by his father and wore a coat of many colors. And he told his father about his brother's wrongdoings. But this was not enough to sell him as a slave. Joseph spent 13 years as a slave and behind bars. He would have wept unseen by anyone and would have sighed deep sighs on his own. Finally, God's time arrived. When no one could interpret the Pharaoh's dream, Joseph was finally able to stand before Pharaoh, and he became the prime minister of Egypt. Psalm 105, verses 17 to 19, bear witness to Joseph's life. And he sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles, his neck was put in irons, till what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. The end of Joseph's days in slavery and behind bars was when what God foretold came to pass. God did not look upon Joseph being sold into slavery by his brothers and do nothing, because he did not have the ability to stop it. God was not ignorant of the fact that Joseph was a slave in Potiphar's household. God did not allow Joseph to languish innocently behind bars because he had abandoned Joseph or given up on him. God had a purpose for Joseph, a foretelling, and God was waiting for the time his word would come to pass. Finally, the time arrived, and through Joseph, Jacob's family came to settle in Egypt. And they multiplied, and 400 years later left Egypt through the Exodus. The great events of the Exodus began years before with Joseph's slavery and imprisonment. The time he foretold came to pass that God decided for Joseph included slavery and imprisonment for 13 years, 7 years of plenty, and 2 years of famine, altogether 22 long years. In the time of the king of the Persian Empire, Xerxes celebrated his ascent to the throne by inviting all of Persia's generals and nobility and local governors to the palace and throwing a great feast. The feast lasted all through 6 months. Once this feast was over, he called all the people in the citadel of Susa and hosted another feast for a week. When the time came for the feast to end, King Xerxes called his queen Vashti forward to show off her beauty before the crowd, but she would not come. At the time, even the queen could not disobey the king's command, but she did not come. So Vashti was dethroned. Afterwards, a new process of selection for the queen was carried out, and Esther was chosen. Although by law only the daughters of nobility could become queen in Persia, Esther, who was the child of Jewish hostages and an orphan, was selected. 5 years after Esther became queen, something happened. Everyone in Persia bowed the knee to the highest noble in the land, Haman, but Mordecai did not do so. Haman was so angry he made a plan to kill not only Mordecai, but his entire Jewish race. Haman decided that the plan was to be carried out in 11 months, and he went to Xerxes, saying, "Jews live separately and do not follow your laws, so it is not in the king's interest to let them live." And he wrote out a command to destroy all the Jews and used the ring the king gave him to seal it. And he sent it out to the entire kingdom. Every Jew in the land, including Mordecai, wept and fasted and clothed themselves in nothing but sackcloth. Esther sent a eunuch to Mordecai with good clothing and asked him to take off his sackcloth and wear normal clothes, but Mordecai did not listen. Instead, he gave the eunuch a copy of the command to destroy all the Jews and asked Esther to go before the king and beg him to save her people. Esther sent the eunuch back saying, "Everyone knows that for any man or woman who approaches the king without being summoned is put to death." Only if the king extends the gold scepter to them will they be spared. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king. Mordecai's answer to Esther is in the book of Esther, chapter 4, verses 13 to 14. He sent back this answer, "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." This time was God's time. This was the time when Haman was defeated and God's people began to be cherished. Such a time for Esther required 5 years after she became queen. I will read to you again verse 80 from today's scripture. "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel." The verse tells us that John, whose calling was to prepare the way for the Lord, became strong in spirit through 30 years in the wilderness. John's father, Zechariah, was a high priest. The priesthood is hereditary, so John could have become a priest, and this was a lifetime guarantee of a job. But John lived in the empty wilderness. The Bible does not tell us if this is because John's parents, who were already old, died early, and no one was left to take care of him, so he went into the wilderness. Or whether he moved there once he was old enough to go on his own. Nor does the Bible tell us where this empty wilderness is located. So some say this was the home of the Essenes, who practiced abstinence and peace and lived near the Dead Sea. And others say this place was the Judean desert on the west side of the Dead Sea. There are many different theories as to the location of the wilderness, but all agree that this wilderness means a location symbolizing God's coming. The Greek word eremois, which is translated as wilderness, means a forsaken place, a lonely place, a solitary vast place. So the wilderness is a place where the food and water and clothing we need for everyday life is in short supply. It is a place where we can only survive with God's help, where we cannot take one step without God, where we can hope in only God and wait for only God. This is the wilderness. David was anointed with oil by the prophet Samuel. This meant that David would succeed Saul as the next king of Israel. After David defeated Goliath, who had terrified all the soldiers of Israel, he became Saul's son-in-law. And he won war after war, and became the hero of the people. But he had to spend a long period of time running from just one person, his father-in-law and his king, Saul, who was jealous of David. Even when David was on the run, he put a great deal of effort into keeping his faith in God and remaining a faithful servant of his king. When David's band was in the wilderness of En-Gedi, Saul came with 3,000 warriors to catch him. But among the many caves there, he just happened to go into the one David was hiding to relieve himself. David had the perfect chance to kill Saul, but he only cut off a corner of his robe. And even then, he was remorseful that he had not been properly respectful to God's anointed king. Also, when David's band was hiding in the mountains of Hakila in the wilderness of Ziph, Saul also brought 3,000 men. The men who followed David wanted to kill Saul in his sleep in one blow. But David said they could not treat God's anointed so, and told them to only bring him Saul's spear and water jug. This was who David was. But David, who was immensely tired of running away from Saul, decided it was a good idea to leave Israel for a while and asked for exile from Achish, king of Gath of the Philistines, which was the homeland of Goliath. So Achish allowed David's band of 600 people to settle in the area of Ziklag, and they stayed there for 16 months. At this time, Israel and the Philistines went to war. Achish thought this was a good chance to show everyone David was on the side of the Philistines and asked him to go out and fight together. David went along to the battlefield, but his mind was severely troubled. If he had gone into that war and faced his countrymen in battle, he would not have been able to become king of Israel. But when David arrived at the battlefield, the Philistine generals argued against having him in battle. They said, "Isn't this the man they sing about, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands? How can we go to war alongside him? What if he and the men behind him attack us from behind? We cannot go to battle with him." Achish defended him, saying, "He is on our side." But in the end, they would not accept him. So Achish had to send David back. After 3 days, David returned to Ziklag. But something unbelievable had happened there. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 to 6 bear witness to what happened. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. David and his men would have returned from the battle feeling relieved that they did not have to go to war against Israel. But when they saw what had happened in Ziklag, their hearts must have burst. They must have felt as if they were being torn to pieces. Because the Amalekites had raided the area in their absence and burned Ziklag, and taken their wives and children. The only thing they could have done was to wail and weep until they could do no more. And the sorrow and resentment and rage of the people who had lost their wives and children would have been directed toward David. They talked about stoning him. "Is this our reward after we have followed you for so many years?" David would have been beset on all sides. He could not do anything. And so David found strength in the Lord his God. The wilderness is not limited to the wilds of En-Gedi or Ziph, where David ran from Saul. Ziklag to David was also a wilderness where only God could be seen, where no one but God could help him and give him strength and courage. In our lives, we sometimes encounter unexpected situations. Why is this happening to me, God? We complain to Him and we question God's deeds, asking, why does this have to happen to me? Is God even interested in my life at all? Sometimes even asking such questions is a luxury. And like David and his band, we weep and we weep, and the tears do not stop. But if we accept that our situation is in order to allow us to live as God's children and to act as a pathway to God's greater glory, if we accept with faith that this is the wilderness He has given us, the meaning and attitude of our lives will undergo a great change. Not only David, but most of the people of God went through a process of looking only to God in their own wilderness. To Jacob, who in spite of God's promise that the elder will serve the younger, still stayed stubborn and deceived his father and brother, the ford of the river Jabbok was his wilderness. Even though he wrenched his leg socket and was in danger of becoming a cripple, he did not let go of God. This was because he had come to know deep down that only God would be able to take care of his life. Moses, who had been adopted when he was 3 months old by the daughter of the Pharaoh, lived 40 years in the palace. But this did not make Moses truly Moses. To Moses, the place he spent the next 40 years, the Midian desert, where he lived as a shepherd with his wife's family and herded his father-in-law's sheep, was his true wilderness. During those 40 years, Moses looked only to God and grew and matured into a pathway of God whose only supplication was to God Himself. To the prophet Elijah, the wilderness was not the mountain of Carmel, where he stood against 450 prophets of Baal. His wilderness was a certain cave in Mount Horeb, where he fled from Jezebel for 40 days. There Elijah heard God's words and was uplifted on hearing how 7,000 people had not knelt to Baal nor kissed him. Ready to track down and imprison all the Christians, Paul was heading to Damascus. To him, the wilderness was not the Jerusalem church or the Antioch church, but the Arabian desert and his hometown of Tarsus. In that wilderness, Paul learned to believe and to hope only in God and to obey Him. The starting point in the perfecter of our faith is Jesus. And about his life, Luke chapter 5, verse 16 says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Lonely places are the eremois and wilderness mentioned above. The Lord came as a man on this earth, and he rarely had time to rest. But often he withdrew to lonely places and prayed, so that the will of God, the Father who sent Jesus to the earth, and the will of the Lord would fall perfectly in line. Becoming the people of the wilderness is the shortcut and the right way for our spirits to become strong until the day we reveal ourselves to the world. But that doesn't mean we have to always be in search for mountains and fields to become the people of the wilderness. And you don't have to go to a prayer house or a monastery. In our lives, in our families, and in our workplaces, if we focus solely on God and receive only His guidance, that is our wilderness. Today is Pentecost Sunday, the day we remember the Holy Spirit who came down to the first church 2,000 years ago. Jesus' disciples wanted to be the people of the city rather than the wilderness. If Jesus became the king in Jerusalem, they even fought about who would sit on his right and his left. Yet after they witnessed Jesus' resurrection and his ascension to heaven, they became the people of the wilderness. So in the attic of Mark's house, they only worked hard to pray. Working hard on prayers means, instead of relying on their own wisdom, strength, and method, they waited patiently for God's work and guidance in this world. Later on, the Holy Spirit came down on them, as the Lord had promised, and the Holy Spirit allowed the disciples who are the people of the wilderness to become Christ's witnesses. The Holy Spirit who came down on the people who prayed together at Mark's attic is now with us. Let us pray. Father God, John was born as the son of a priest, so he could have lived a comfortable life as a priest for the rest of his life. Yet he chose to live in the wilderness for 30 years. And until the day he appeared publicly to Israel, he became strong in spirit. That way he was able to prepare for the way of the Lord. Instead of becoming strong in spirit, we wish for our shell to become strong most of the time. Instead of waiting for the time you've planned for us, we insisted on the time we've decided for ourselves. At those times when things didn't turn out the way we wanted or we had planned, we resented you, criticized others, and turned away from you with our hardened hearts. We confess that instead of the wilderness, we wish that our places in lives were elegant castles full of everything we needed, or plazas full of everything we wanted. We were far from living our lives as the children of God or lifting up all the glory to you. Just as Jacob became the person of the wilderness by the river of Jabbok, Moses in the Midian desert, Elijah in the cave at Mount Horeb, and David in Ziklag, help us so that our lives can become the wilderness. Please guide us so that we can only look to you, Lord, and seek for your help. Thank you for this Pentecost Sunday. As we live in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit resides in us, let us become strong in spirit and help us live in the wilderness until the day you reveal us to the world. We pray that every day in our lives will be Pentecost Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.